It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Abounding Grace. I am joined on this Friday session again with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. And we enjoy on these Friday sessions to come together and discuss current trends in Christianity that we might be more informed in our Christian faith as to what we believe, to know what we believe, and why we believe it. Wes, one of the things that's very interesting about our modern day Christianity are these constant fads that come and go. Mm-hmm. And it seems that we're always on shifting sands. All these new teachings, these new books, a new message, a new thought, were very much like the Athenians who gathered on the hill and wanted to hear some new thought of the day until Paul would come and speak soundness.
Right.
We're dealing with that today in many different ways. And today you brought a book, something that's you've been reflecting upon. And let's start with this book that has pretty much done exactly what we're exposing here on Mars Hill that Paul had to face.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you talk about trends. You know, how many years ago was it we had the prayer of Jabez, right? Everybody was going on about that. And then we had the purpose-driven this and purpose-driven that. And lately, there's another new fad coming out. It's in the way of a novel. You could call it, I guess, a theological novel. I was in a number of Christian bookstores across the border there in Canada lately, and I came across a book by William P. Young called The Shack. This book is being heavily promoted by Christian bookstores in Canada and the United States. It's currently one of the top 20 bestsellers if you go to Amazon.com. It's being heavily promoted almost everywhere. It's been very popular in broader Christian circles, evangelical churches. People are excited about this book because of what this book is bringing to them. So at the request of somebody, a friend of mine, a family member, I did read this book and had a look through it. And what I found there was actually shocking. It was very disappointing, actually, because a lot of the teachings of this book are ancient heresies that were dealt with in the years of the early church. And they're coming up again in this book, and people are swallowing it. And for some reason, and maybe we can discuss why that is, for some reason people don't seem to have the tools to discern that what this book is teaching is an error.
Well, I think that's a very key point today. We're picking out this particular book because this really is not anything new. We're constantly dealing with this in the Christian faith. All of these new thoughts and ideas that come before us, and it's a real attack. I mean, we always say the devil does not have a new bag of tricks. They just come in different shapes and forms, but it still is the same content of error. The challenge is we're living in one of the most doctrinally and biblically illiterate ages ever.
Absolutely.
on the earth. And so this is our challenge before us. I think of something that the Apostle Paul warned Timothy about. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. So we can have false doctrines, false ideas, things that are directly from the pit of hell come to us in the form of fables.
Right.
And in a sense, that's what we're dealing with here, right?
Right, exactly. And this is stuff that comes in nice clothing. It comes in an attractive package. It's sold in a Christian bookstore. I mean, if you were to have the Jehovah's Witness go to a local Christian bookstore and say, "Hey, I'd like to have you sell my books that are published by the Watchtower. You know, would you be interested in doing that?" I think most of our Christian bookstores would say, "No. Hey, wait a second. That is totally out of line with what we stand for." But if it's published by a Christian publisher, if it's promoted by Christian pastors and Christian churches, it can be the very same teachings that are erroneous in the Jehovah's Witnesses, and then suddenly it becomes palatable to people. It's bizarre. But maybe we should talk a little bit more about what actually this book is saying.
Well, and I think one thing before you get there, I'll have you outline that, Wes.
Yeah, sure.
Something, you take the books that are written by Joel Osteen. I think one pastor was asked, is this heresy? And he responded and said, well, there's not enough content for it to be heresy.
Yeah.
And that presents an interesting challenge. It's so reductionistic. There's just nothing there. It's really mindless stuff somehow that holds people. But at least in a lot of these sort of books that are coming out now, there is enough to pull out and say, hold on, this is flat against historic Christianity.
Exactly.
And we have to be discerning in 1 John tells us, test the spirits to see whether they be of God. You and I, and all listeners today as Christians, have the responsibility to be good Bereans, to go and see if the things that are said are so.
Right.
And so, Wes, why don't you outline a little bit? We're just using this as an example today that we might all learn to be more discerning.
Yeah.
A typical book coming out today. What does something like this say?
Yeah, okay. So the book we're talking about is William P. Young's The Shack. And this is definitely different than Joel Osteen, where there's no content for there to be heresy. There is content here. And basically, I'm going to start off by saying that this book is full of dangerous, erroneous teachings about God, and that it contains a perversion of the gospel. And I'm going to warn our listeners against this book. This is one of those books where someone meets with God in person. There's a number of books in that genre. And in this case, the persons of the Trinity, two of those persons are actually women. They come to this man as a woman. Papa is supposed to be God the Father, is a large African-American woman. The spirit is Sarayu, which is an Asian woman. Now, I should mention that Sarayu is a river in India, and it's not just any old vanilla river. This is a very special river, especially for Hindus. It's worshipped and it's venerated by Hindus, invoked by Hindus, it's prayed to by Hindus. So the fact that this name was chosen for the Holy Spirit is odd, to say the least. Jesus is in this book, as you might expect, as a Middle Eastern man with a big nose. I'm not sure why that detail was included. So you have these three persons, Papa, Sarayu, and Jesus. And then there's also Sophia. Sophia, some people will recognize that as being wisdom. And
the ancient goddess of wisdom.
Exactly. And she is represented as an offshoot or somehow an associate, I'm not sure exactly how to describe her, of Sarayu. So this book is already, representing God with these three persons. And there's also a blending of these three persons as well. So they're distinct, but then they're also blended together. And there are ancient heresies here regarding the Trinity. And one of those heresies is what we call patripassianism. Now, that's a big word, and I don't imagine many of our listeners will be familiar with that. So let me just basically explain what patripassianism is. It's the idea that when Jesus was on the cross, the Father was suffering with him, that the Father was basically also on the cross. And in some forms of patripassianism, this is comes as modalism, the idea that there is only one God and he has three faces and he turns and he's at one moment he's like this and one moment he's like that.
With no real distinction of the persons.
Exactly, yeah. And there are different forms of patripassianism. This was taught in the 3rd to 4th century after Christ. There was Praxeus. He taught that the Father had sympathy with the Son while he was on the cross. So he didn't quite go so far as to say that the Father was actually on the cross, but others did go in that direction. One of those was Callistus. He said that the Father and the Son are the name of the one God, and thus the Father suffered with the Son. And there you can see it's moving towards this modalism idea. We should say that these... these teachings were condemned by the early church. And we find the position that the early church took on these things in the creeds of the early church. For instance, the Nicene Creed and the Athanasian Creed. In fact, the Athanasian Creed goes so far as to say that people who teach this Patripassianism, they cannot be saved. This is so crucially important to Christian faith. It's just as important as not holding to the positions of the Jehovah's Witnesses. For instance, the Jehovah's Witnesses hold to Arianism, the idea that Jesus is not God, but that he is just a God, that he is a divine being, that he is the Archangel Michael, and so on.
Right. And, you know, just to pause for a minute, I think it's important at this point that also, you know, we recognize that a lot of people would hear this and say, well, aren't you splitting theological hairs here? You know, there's all this division in the Christian world today. There's all these things that go on. Why in the world are you guys pulling out this sort of things and then attacking it in this way? Well, we have to be very discerning here. This is out of love for people reading these things that are reading heresy. Because of the ignorance of the age in which we live, we have to be discerning. Discerning is so wanted today in the church. And the reason is because the Bible makes clear and explicit statements. 2 John 2, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, and Wes was just outlining that, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. That's pretty serious.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and there are other examples of where this book departs from the doctrine of Christ. I'll just give one more here because we're getting towards the end of our program for today. Papa says on page 201 of the Shack, I am truly human in Jesus, but I am a totally separate other in my nature. Now that is a mixing of the persons that the Athanasian Creed, that the Christian church has always stood against. We say you cannot say those sorts of things. That is not the doctrine of Christ.
Right. And we bring this to you today hoping that you would be very good Bereans, going back to the word, discerning the truth, because the truth does matter. You don't get to a changed life without first going through the head. And we have to know what we believe concerning our great God. Wes, tell us about this Lord whom you preach, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified every Lord's Day.
Well, we're at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We're on 52nd Avenue near the airport in Langley. People want more information, they can go to our website, www.langleycanrc.org. You can also give me a phone call. My number is 604-220-7718.
Thanks for joining us today. Until another edition of Abounding Grace, may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We thank you for joining us. As always, it's a real privilege and a delight spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments of any kind, or maybe even a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or write to us, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. Or you can visit our website and drop us an email at lindenurc.com. In fact, we have a lot of information there, including directions if you would like to join us for worship. lindenurc.com. Now, if you're writing to us using U.S. Mail, you can do so at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, that also serves as our place of worship. If you'd like to join us, again, you're more than welcome. The offer is always open to you. Call us at 360-318-0429 for directions, or simply, again, go to our website, lindenurc.com, for those directions. And then we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.